You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. Ironic, cause I think I'm getting so huge, I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think, cause I'm friends with the
monster. December 15th. Good morning to you. Friday morning. What, 10 days before Christmas? Not in a wake up. You don't count Christmas. Yeah, for those of you who don't know how to do a count, you never count the day off. That makes it the whole thing one day shorter. That's right. That's how you do it. One of the interesting things is when you do go places around the world and you make your little calendar, at some point everybody makes their calendar and they start crossing off days. It's pretty interesting. You know, you start off and it looks like just forever. And then you start crossing them off. And then you run across them, right, later on in life. And you look and you're like, man, look at all those X's one at a time. Or maybe you might forget for a few days. And then you're like, yeah, boom, one, two, three, take that. Yeah, your own little personal calendar. And that was old core. Now... now what happens is, you have electronic versions of that. I want to say the last one I saw was called The Donut of Misery. I'm sure I still have a copy of it someplace, but it started out with you put how many days you were deploying for, and it gave you days, weeks, months, minutes, seconds. Yeah, like 9,730,000, you know, seconds. And then you get fired up like, hey, I just went under a billion seconds left. Like, whoa, exactly. But the donut of misery, I think they had this, like, donut, and it starts out as red. And then it kind of goes into this yellow phase, which means you're getting kind of halfway or, you know, between maybe two-thirds and a third. And then slowly yellow gives way to, you know, you start seeing green in the calendar. And then I think in the background that's being revealed as this clock moves is this good looking girl. That's the last version I saw of it. So, the donut of misery, the short timer's calendar. Anyway, the learning point in all of this is, you don't count Christmas. So 9 in a wake up. Christmas, no matter what anybody else says, yeah, 10 days left of Christmas. No, it's not. 9 days and a wake up, and boom, Christmas. So anyway, good morning to you out there. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are, whatever you're doing. We're going to talk to the All Marine Radio head chef after we check the news. And so looking forward to doing that. We'll talk a little bit of Christmas. We'll talk a little bit of Christmas stuff. Some great stuff this week. Yeah. And then, oh, no, we're not. We need to talk to the All Marine Radio head chef now. Because Dan Lamothe is going to join us this morning. And Dan's going to join us, I want to say, at... Hold on. Dan is a writer for the Washington Post. Actually, he just started doing some podcasting. So we'll talk about that. But we're going to have to make a, for the second day in a row, we're going to have to, an in-stride change. An in stride change, and we'll talk to Dan Lamont. So we'll talk to him at 8. So the Almer and Radiohead chef's gonna, he doesn't know this yet, or hopefully he's listening, and he will figure it the hell out. But we'll talk to him momentarily, and then we'll get Dan Lamont on. And Lamont wrote an article about a year ago about the whole transgender issue. And earlier this week, as I kind of explored it a little bit, I found out that there's not just one form of transgender. Who knew? I thought transgender meant that you wanted to change your gender and switch to the opposite gender. I thought that's what that meant. Well, evidently there's a much broader pool involved in that, which would account for, and this is there's a very good teaching point yesterday about if you don't understand something, you might want to check it out before you engage your mouth, right? Engage your brain before you engage your mouth. So when you see a number, like, who in God's name would say that there is, let's see, I want to say the number that I saw was 13,000 transgender people in the DOD, right? That's crazy talk, right? But when you all of a sudden begin to do the footnotes, then you see that there's some people that are considered transgender because they're in the wrong gender, and yet they don't seek hormone therapy or gender change. Yeah, boom. Oh, okay. Now that makes a little bit more sense to me. So, so we're going to talk to Lamont about the article that he wrote, as I said, about a year ago. And just get his thoughts on the whole issue and where he thinks the DOD is going with it. Because it certainly seems like the Secretary of Defense is not on the same page as the President. Much slower in terms of making decisions, things like that. Much more deliberative. He's used the latitude that the president gave him, and people sometimes raise their eyebrows. But when you know him, you shouldn't. He's going to do the right thing. And if the president chooses to overrule him, then that's the president's prerogative as a commander in chief. But Secretary of Defense has a moral obligation to research the issue and to find out for the American people, is this a good thing for our country? Is this a bad thing for our country? And if it is a bad thing, the appropriate footnotes and explaining to people why this is a bad thing and why it shouldn't. Why it's not in the best interest of people to go ahead and allow transgenders to serve. So we're going to talk about that this morning. But yeah, I screwed up. So we're going to get going real quick here. I've got to call the chef and get him motivated. I don't know. He's motivated. It's Friday, so Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning to you. crushes it. Motivation, dedicated to the Almarine Radio head chef who just...
can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
You know, one thing you'll notice with the new Secretary of Defense, he's no bullshit, man. No big announcements on troop levels or anything like that. And as things wound down in Syria and Iraq, guess what's just getting absolutely smoked right now? Yeah, Afghanistan. So, my own opinion, that thing will move quicker than it has in the past. Current temperatures around the Marine Corps. Cloudy in 32 in Quantico. Sunny in 49 at Camp Lejeune. Sunny in 40 in Granbury, Texas. Cloudy and 42 in Big Timber, Montana. Remember when Montana Man said that when they got snow, no, I think the snow is going to be here till the spring. Montana Man, not so much of a weatherman. Sunny and 49, 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 39. El Nino. Dark, clear, and 64 in Okinawa and Marja. Dark, clear, and 46. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, in the beautiful Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 46 degrees under fair skies. Looking for a high of 78 today. That is a look at that's a look at your weather. And now...
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
How about, oh my God, I can't sleep. Joining me. Is the Almarine Radio head chef. Hey, as you got older, did you have problems sleeping?
Sometimes I do, yeah. And what I do is I take one nighttime Tylenol. And that was recommended by Dr. Ryan. It's a blue pill and it's called Tylenol PM.
Tylenol PM?
Yeah, and I just take one when I can't sleep. and I'm down for the night.
Really?
No, see, yeah.
I don't know. You know, this. They've never historically worked on me.
I don't know what to tell you.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
I can't say what I recommend on the radio.
What do you mean? It's legal. It's legal in most states now.
Yeah, it's legal where you live.
No, you know, it's L.A., Los Angeles County. Orange County has it, but Los Angeles County just, I think, enacted. And let me just tell you, there are pot producers and people in that business now. And when you think about it, that money is going to go from being a criminal enterprise to commercial business. And places like in huge cities around the country, that's not going to be any small amount of I just don't know how you get in a car if it's legal in your house. How do you, if somebody's loaded and they can't drive, what do you do with that guy? You can't give him a breathalyzer. You got to take him down the station and do a blood test.
They've got to have some kind of test. You treat it like drunk driving.
Yeah, but you can't do. You got to take the guy in. You can't. Right? What do you do? I mean, he's clearly intoxicated on something. I don't know how you, when you pull him over. You know, you can tell that he's high, but you can do a urine or a blood test. I'm not sure how the cops handle it.
I don't know how they would do it, but when they come up with something, I'm sure that's what they do. You write them a ticket, a court appearance. Make them call a cab, or you call them a cab. You leave their car on the side of the road with a ticket on it, and they tow it. And you got to pay for the tow. You got to go to court.
Oh yeah, no, it's the normal, right? It's the normal deal. I mean, I got that. I just don't know, you know, how you detect for it and whatnot. So anyway, hey, I've got an email for you, Mac. I'm curious about Christmas fare. Does the All Marine Radiohead chef have a special meal for Christmas? Is it different from Thanksgiving? A lot of families roll the same. What are his thoughts on that? So what is traditional Christmas dinner? Ours was always the same as Thanksgiving, which I was a huge fan of. But other people do it. Other people do it different.
I don't do turkey for Christmas. I like to do a prime rib. I like to do a prime rib dinner with some kind of scalloped potatoes, maybe a corn, scalloped corn, mashed potatoes or scalloped potatoes, or fried, or, you know, or baked potato, whatever turns your crank in the potato department. But my go-to dish is a prime rib, and I cook it in the oven. Like I do the Sanders prime rib, and it's pretty easy to do it.
So prime rib. Is there such a thing as traditional Thanksgiving meal?
A lot of people will also instead of a prime rib, they'll do ham for Christmas or turkey. But my go-to meal is prime rib.
Okay, so, but...
Because I want leftovers all the way through New Year's.
That's a big prime rib.
You know, there's nothing better than a prime rib sandwich. The sliced real thin, or you could do a hot beef sandwich. There's any number of ways you can do it.
You're losing focus on me, bro. Okay, so I'm focusing on Christmas traditional dinner, and what you're telling me
is not.
Well, I don't know. Now we're talking about prime rib sandwiches, though. All right. So there's no the major. So ham or turkey? That's what we got.
Yeah.
I think ham's kind of lame. Is that me? Is
it... Well, it's not my go-to meal.
Yeah.
Usually that's an Easter meal or lamb. I love lamb over ham.
Yeah.
But Christmas, it's usually a turkey or,
yeah.
And I like to do roast beef.
Yeah, interesting.
And,
interesting.
And my brother is doing, he called me and he's cooking a leg of lamb for his Christmas dinner in Louisville. And he's doing a leg of lamb that's been boned. You have the butcher take the bone out and he ties it up. And then you take it home and, you know, fix it up. And I can get into that if you want.
Well, let's go through a few emails first before we do that. Mac,
yeah.
One of the staples of Christmas is eggnog. Does the chef have a recipe for eggnog? I know he does.
You know what? I don't have a recipe for eggnog. I just don't. I'll look it up for next Friday. But what I do is, being such a svelte figure, I get light eggnog at the grocery store,
yeah.
And it's just not as heavy.
Yeah.
And the traditional booze is bourbon. With your eggnog, I prefer rum.
Why?
Because I like the flavor of rum and eggnog. It really goes well together for me. But initially, before I discovered rum, it was bourbon and eggnog. And with a little bit of nutmeg, fresh nutmeg grated on the top of it, not a lot, just a little bit, and you can serve it hot or cold. Usually it's served cold, but eggnog means whipping up egg yolks and egg whites and cream and heating that up and cooking it, and it's very, very good, but I just don't have an eggnog recipe handy.
Oh,
I will for next Friday.
You used to, when we would do the show down at your place, you would serve eggnog, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I would offer eggnog,
right.
But I did not make eggnog.
You're not the eggnog man. All right.
Because the shelf life is pretty short on when you use raw eggs.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, that was never really an issue in North Dakota because alcohol normally doesn't hang out for a very long period of time.
Yes.
It normally gets consumed relatively quickly. I don't know if that's a Midwest thing, but let me just tell you that if you're looking for a place to go have a good time, and you're a drinker, North Dakota is like going to Disneyland. They like their alcohol there, and they're no stranger to a good time.
And it's very funny because if you don't get your eggnog before Christmas, it's usually gone before New Year's off the shelves.
Oh.
And they don't just drink straight eggnog. They load it up with bourbon. So that's what I would do with eggnog, and I like my eggnog cold.
All right. I've never been a fan of it, so Kim knows I'm not the biggest drinker on the planet. But you don't need to have alcohol in eggnog. You can make virgin eggnog, yes.
Oh, look, eggnog with a little nutmeg on it is absolutely delicious.
There you go.
And the problem with me and eggnog is, you know, when you were a kid, or maybe even now, You stand by the refrigerator, hold the door open, and drink out of the carton.
That's you?
You're
that guy?
That's me with eggnog. I'm telling you, I love eggnog, but, I mean, you know, I can... That's 1 pound. That's 2 pounds on my belly.
Is it that rich?
It's very rich. Yes, it is.
Wow. I did not know that.
And I've been able to contain myself to maybe a quart of eggnog a season. And then I have to walk away. But I buy the light eggnog, which... I sure in the hell can't tell whether it's less sweet or not, or heavy with cream and stuff. It's really a good drink at Christmas time, and I'm glad they brought that up.
All right. Here's another one. Mac, what about a favorite Christmas cookie? Does the chef make cookies? I've never heard you guys talk about desserts a whole lot. Do you make cookies?
My wife is the cookie master in our house.
Yeah.
And she just finished this, their drop cookies about the size of a half a dollar.
Yeah.
And not in thickness, but just in diameter.
Diameter, yeah.
And they're chocolate with a cherry in it. They're chocolate with a cherry pushed in it, and then a chocolate drizzled over it, and it is absolutely to die for. And I'm only allowed one cookie per batch. Maybe I can squeeze two or three, but that's the end of it for me. And then she ships it out. She does a killer chocolate chip cookie, but the traditional cookie is butter cookies. They're white, and they're like a shortbread cookie. Same batter, but her go-to cookie is that chocolate-covered cherry cookie.
Chocolate-covered cherry cookie. All right,
yeah.
All right. But you. So, what is the? Is there a traditional Christmas cookie? My mom used to make sugar cookies, and then kind
yeah.
of a flat sugar cookie, and then decorate it with whatever she. That was always the fun part.
And my mom used to do about a dozen or so different types of cookies at Christmas time when I was growing up. That's the one thing she knew what to do, and that was. Do cookies at Christmas time, and she'd do them, and then she'd freeze them and put them in tins and tape them shut so I couldn't get into them. And then the week before Christmas, she'd bring it out, and you know, and you'd have Christmas cookies. And she
when the hell would she make them?
She made them a couple of weeks out.
Okay. Right.
And, because they were very time consuming. They took her about, a total of 4 or 5 days to make all the different types of cookies. And she used to make this little round butter cookie. It was like a ball, and it was dusted with powdered sugar. And it was, very dense, had chopped pecans in it, kind of similar to a pecan sandy, and which you can buy in the grocery store off the shelf. But that was probably my favorite cookie that she made at Christmas time. And then she'd make these like sugar cookies with raspberry jam in between them. Like a little sandwich, and they were about 3 inches across, and those were killer. And then she made just a straight chocolate cookie. She didn't have the chocolate covered cherry thing down. That I only saw that when Beth started making them. And then, but yeah, she, Beth does all the baking in our house. In fact, she made some orange zucchini bread the other day, that's absolutely spectacular. And then she made, pecan, what was that? Pecan banana bread. That was pretty darn good. So yeah, she, you know her strong suit is cheesecakes. One of many of her strong baking, go-tos. But yeah, she's the baker in our house.
All right. So when you think, as a guy who made his, you know, made his business in food, when you see, when Christmas rolls around, what foods do you think of? Are there anyone specific, that you think of?
Well, I think of Christmas sweets, but as far as roast beef when I was growing up was a Christmas meal. Turkey was a Christmas meal. Ham and turkey at Christmas on the same table was another meal. Growing up. Yeah.
Okay. I wanna talk gravy for a few minutes. We had a big discussion in our house about gravy, about turkey gravy. So I want to ask you, I want to ask you about it. Okay. So this is the way I do it. Okay. And I'm a complete novice and I try to follow the directions you give me. I forget some of them. So sometimes it doesn't always work out for me. Anyway, here's what I do. When I put the turkey in, I make sure there's enough broth to cover the bottom of the pan. Now, you told me that, you know, depending on how much juice your turkey gives off, you may have to replenish that, because what you don't want is that broth to evaporate, because that's the base for your gravy, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
And you want the drippings from the turkey. That's a big deal.
And you don't want them to come out of the turkey, go into the roasting pan, and then evaporate and turn brown or black, right? You don't want that.
Yes. We don't. That's a no-no.
That's a no-no. Okay. So then the color of gravy ought to be, you know, fairly light, yes?
Yes. The darkness comes from scraping off the drippings and any of the skin that falls in with the
the drippings are going to be clear. It's going to be fat or juice.
But it darkens when it cooks on the bottom of the roasting pan.
But it's not going to cook because I've got broth in there.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Exactly. But they have something to make the gravy. Do you want to make the gravy darker? They have something called kitchen bouquet.
Okay.
And it's, yes?
Well, no, so I'm, if you don't have kitchen bouquet and you don't do anything to the pigmentation, normally what's happened is some of your broth has evaporated and you've had stuff that have gone into the pan and dried out, yes? And you've mixed, and then you've mixed, you put broth in there and you put Wondra and your, is that a roux? Do we call that a roux?
Well, no, it's not. It's just a thickening agent like cornstarch.
Okay. All right.
A roux is butter and flour equal parts.
All right. No butter.
That are cooked.
Yeah. No
separately.
Butter. All right. So.
But there's no butter in the gravy.
Okay. So this is I guess this is my point that I wanted to clarify. If you have broth that covers the base of the plant, the pan, the cooking pan, everything that comes out of the turkey goes into that broth and nothing's burned. And now, do you then turn around? I took all that fluid, and I dumped it into that, what do you call that fat separator thing?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's what you call it. A fat grease separator. It's got a spout.
Yep.
And the grease floats to the top. And then the spout is attached to the bottom of the container. And you pour that off. And you're pouring all the pure liquid off. And the fat stays on the top.
Okay. So you do that. Yeah. So now really what you've got is just you've got turkey broth. Yes, I mean, you got some kind of turkey juice broth mixing. So I took that and I didn't put it back in the baking pan. I put it in a different saucepan, and then I put the Wondra and cold water mix into that, and then I added a little brown sugar for taste, and as I thickened it, and a little salt and pepper, blah 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 blah. It came up, booyah, it was a beautiful, like, light color, and it got its, the broth was darkened, obviously, by the brown sugar, hence, its kind of light color. So.
Yes, it is light color. It should be light color.
Okay. All right. If it's not light color, and see, cause what Susan did was, she mixed it in the gravy pan, right?
Yeah.
And there was some stuff that had gone to the bottom of the pan and burned. So that gave it a darker pigmentation. So we got into this dissertation about gravy and how you do it. And I said, you know, I really think that what one of the things Kim has taught me relative to this is he's taught me how to save the broth. And in order to save the broth, you got to put enough chicken stock at the base, so that really acts as a preservative, and so it captures all of it instead of allowing it to evaporate. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, there's the turkeys today, you know, there's not a lot of fat that runs off, and I see where Susan's coming from with the mixing it. I always mix it in the roasting pan. I just take the V-rack out and set the bird and tin it like you so beautifully did. And then go at the gravy because you've got this big pan, roasting pan. And I just mix the Wonder and a little bit of water and then add it slowly until it's thick. And I use a wire whip. And if there are any particles that come off, you know, the bird's cooking on a V-rack, so you're not going to have, it's all going to be browned, the skin.
Right.
So if some falls in, that's okay.
Right.
But I whisk it all in.
Right.
And then if you want a smooth gravy, you pour it through a sieve, and then you put it in the saucepan like you did, and then reheat it, and you have to serve hot, hot gravy.
Ugh.
And there you go.
No, because we were talking
about.
You
were right on. You were right on doing it the way you do it.
Well, I don't know anything. I just do what people tell me to. But the question of how much chicken broth and what do you use it for makes sense to me now. It makes sense to me.
Yeah. The amount of chicken broth depends on how many people are going to be having gravy, and nothing worse than running out of gravy.
Right.
At turkey time.
Right.
And
that stock combined with the juice of the turkey is going to create the volume, and that's why you need to have turkey or if you want to
extra juice. Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. How the giblets my mom used to put in a pan. And she used to put it on the stove in some water. Could you take that and throw that in? Would you bake that with the turkey and throw that in the broth in at the bottom of the pan and allow that to kind of spread its juices through there?
Yes, you can. But the reason you're cooking the giblet, the neck, the heart, and the gizzard in a saucepan that you filled up with water, and then you bring it to a boil and then turn it on simmer for a couple of hours, and you reduce the volume of liquid by half, and if you want to chop everything up and put it in there, you can, or throw it away. I like to peel the bits off the neck and chop them up real fine and throw them in the gravy. You want that liquid, to go in the gravy mix too, that the giblets were cooked in.
Okay.
That's gonna give you real turkey flavor.
Okay. Now, but my technique of allowing that to sit in the base, in the broth, while you cook the turkey for X number of hours, is that good or bad?
Yeah.
Is that bad or good?
It's not bad at all.
Okay. All right. All right.
It's a matter of preference.
Okay. All right. The All Marine Radio head chef. We're going to take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. I got an email that is asking another question about gravy. It's entitled, My PhD in Turkey Gravy. So I don't know too many programs deal go this deep into turkey gravy. But, hey, look, we like to eat it, so we need to talk about it.
Gravy's a big deal when you're cooking, whether it's a beef roast, any kind of roast, and making enough gravy, and not burning it or scorching it is real important.
No, gravy is, it's the linchpin. Just like the two things that are really unique at Christmas and Thanksgiving, when you have turkey, are stuffing and gravy. If you've got it, you've got to crush both of those. And most of the time, the crushing not too difficult. I mean, the stuffing not too difficult. The gravy is the art. Some people say it's easy. Some people say it's not. I would have told you it's not easy. I'm getting better at it because I'm beginning to understand it a little bit. And so, but again, we had a big discussion about it. So we're going to take a break. More of the chef coming up next. Dan LaMoth at the top of the hour here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Ooh, all you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hey, slow it down. 7:50 on a Friday morning. We're talking, we're giving people a PhD in turkey gravy this morning. The All Marine Radio head chef is is with us, Kim Holmes, and we were talking during the break about, you know, the way that Kim would tell you to cook a turkey is to flip the turkey. And Kim, let's talk about flipping the turkey and its impact on the gravy, because right, the reason you're flipping the turkey is to keep the juices in the turkey. Yes? And then as a result, you're going to have less juice for gravy to begin with because of the way you treat the turkey. Talk about that.
Well, the reason you start with the breast side down in your V-rack or your rack is because then the first half of the cooking process, all the juices run into the breast meat. And then when you flip it over, it retains most of the juices, and then the rest trickles down into the dark meat, which is always juicy. And the key is not to overcook your bird. And you pull that out, when the thermostat reads, 160, and then you know, when you tent it, but by flipping the bird, you get a total brown turkey, You start with the bottom side up, that browns, and then you flip it over and that brown goes down, and you'll notice that the breast will have marks from the V-rack, and it'll be very light in color. And then that will plump up and get golden brown. So you have an evenly brown turkey. And then everybody gets to eat crisp turkey skin. If you're into that kind of stuff. Which we both are. the juices, like you said, stay in the bird more than the juices do. And those that drip out will drip into your pan, which already has some turkey stock or chicken stock in the bottom. When you pull the bird out and sit it on the rack, you put it on the cutting board, you tightly cover the whole bird with foil, and then you go at the gravy. And then you're in the front row. And we went over about making gravy pretty thoroughly the first segment.
Yeah.
So,
when you do think about it, as he and I were talking during the break, given the way that it's funny now because I never linked that. You know, you're cooking a turkey and you're saying, you know, we just don't get that much juice anymore. Well, because you don't cook it the same way. You're not cooking in a way that supports through the course of, you know, however many hours, 6 hours, all the juice running out of the bottom of the turkey. You're cooking it in a way that keeps the juice in the turkey, and that's to make sure that the white meat is as moist as the dark meat.
When you throw a turkey in a roasting pan, just throw it in, that bottom that's how the gravy got turned darker. The bottom doesn't brown like the top is browning. And the juices are all running out of that because it's not sealed because the skin isn't crisp. And so then you get all the juices running into the pan. And yes, your gravy will be darker and you'll have some pieces there. But you remember when you were younger, they pulled the turkey out of the roasting pan and set it on the carving board. And it was just kind of, you know, fatty looking. And, that's why all the juices were in the pan. But by flipping the bird and doing the way cooking it on a rack, everything gets brown. That also holds juices in by browning the bottom first. So there.
There you have it. Everything you could ever possibly want to know about turkey gravy. And again, as we said, in terms of difficulty, if you can say gravy's not difficult, then you're a pretty savvy Thanksgiving holiday cook. If you can say stuffing's not difficult, then you're pretty savvy. I would say of the two, the gravy is certainly the more difficult thing to prepare. And so to me, if you don't do it, I think the key to good gravy is making sure you got enough broth in the pan to continually cover the pan. And then after you do that, it's really just thickening and adding brown sugar, at least in our recipe, salt and pepper and you know, seasoning to taste and making great gravy and thickening it up. If you do that, if you don't and the juices burn on the bottom of the pan, then you're adding broth and attempting to whip that stuff back up, right, and revive it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you that'll have a darker gravy,
right,
for sure, because it's been sitting on the bottom of the pan,
right,
without being on a V-rack.
Got it. It all makes sense to me now. All right. Any final comments before I let you go today? You're going to go shopping.
Then. Well, I wish you all a happy weekend, and hope your Christmas shopping's all done. Most of you haven't, but that's okay. If that's part of the Christmas thing, I guess, is the madness of it. I've been to the point where I'm shopping on Christmas Eve, and
I love that.
And then when I met Beth, she had her shopping done by October, and that was that. And so she turned my shopping routine totally around.
Yeah, I'm with you. I used to be, you know, I didn't get out and do it earlier. I considered it, you know, part of the enjoyment to go to get out there and mix it up near Christmas Eve. So
yeah,
that's what I and
now are you a Christmas Eve present opener or a Christmas Day?
Christmas Day.
Now, I'm a Christmas Day.
Yeah. Well, how can you open them? How can you open them on Christmas Eve when Santa doesn't come till that night?
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about it.
Exactly. Yeah. That takes the whole thrill out of Christmas.
The thrill is gone. All right, man. First of all, Merry Christmas and have stay warm and have a great week and have a good time at the store.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna be on next Friday, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get some final hits on that.
Yeah. No, next Friday. You bet. All right, Kim, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
That is the Allmarine Radio head chef. Dan Lamoth joins us next on a Friday edition of Allmarine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum, it's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.